too fat, too fat, too fat, too fat, too fat, too fat, too fat expats.
Do we do it again? No. Okay, here we are, episode 9.
Episode 9. Hello, everybody.
I'm Kirsty Rice.
I'm Sarah Derrick.
We are the two fat expats.
Yes, because we want to live a big fat expat life.
We want to fill it up.
Yes, and that's fat to the P to the H to the A to the T, the fat life, but also because...
We're a little bit
just
fat.
A little bit, yes.
Today we're going to talk about the ugly expat.
Yes. Which we've both been a little bit.
We have. Yeah. And we've had...
Not ugly as in looks-wise, but ugly as in...
Behaviour.
Because ugly behaviour.
Yeah, because it's easy to quickly, in a moment of frustration, it's easy to turn into the ugly expat.
It is.
I think.
Yeah.
The reason we're talking about this is our friend Mawuna Ratonen.
Katonen.
Yes. Katonen.
Who we spoke about in our first or second episode.
Yeah. It was either episode 2 or 3. We had come across an article in Silicon Africa.
That's right.
And we were both really, really interested in the article and how it had been received. And it was talking about the word expat being basically a word for white people.
Yes. And I think... Moana called it white supremacist.
He did. And you and I had kind of had our feathers well and truly ruffled.
Yes.
But we were both saying we could understand.
We could understand where he was coming from. We just felt the use of white supremacist was maybe a little bit too harsh.
Which is why it was very interesting. Moana's article popped up in The Guardian last week.
And all over a certain Doha Facebook page.
Yes, over that
Where
When
Why a
couple of times. And so the article got a lot of exposure. A girlfriend of mine who's married to an Irish guy in Australia, she posted it saying, oh, this is interesting. And it a lot of comments, you would say. Yeah. But what you and I found really interesting is that the wording had changed.
White supremacist was no longer in the Guardian version.
No. Mm. And I sent Mawuna a note last night just to say, was this your idea or was it the Guardian's?
Mm-hmm. And what did he say?
He didn't tell me. He just said that, I noticed the words had been removed, and he said they haven't been removed, they've been reworded.
Mm-hmm.
His term was just to make it a little less tense.
Right. Because it did spark a debate, especially on the What, When, Why, How, Where Doha Facebook page.
Yeah.
There was a bit of back and forth. There was a bit of argy-bargy.
And I think it's that whole thing, and we won't talk about it again and again and again, because we have covered it, and if you want to go back and have a look, it's in episode 2 or 3, we talk about the article. But you and I were having a conversation again today saying that we don't think it's a white, black thing.
No.
I think it is, or a brown or whatever, it is a socioeconomic thing.
Yeah, and not for us personally.
Yeah.
We think that everybody should be an expat.
Yeah. In fact, we really want everyone to claim the word expat.
Yes, no matter whether you're the guy that fills a car at the work or petrol station or if you're the head of engineering for a construction company, we're all expats.
Yeah, we'd like to get rid of the term foreign worker.
Yeah, overseas foreign worker. Or someone in Abu Dhabi used to call them OFWs. Made my blood boil.
And we are firm believers that everyone's an expat because we don't want to have to change the name of the podcast either.
Exactly.
I don't want to be two fat migrants.
Too fat overseas foreign workers. We couldn't put that into a song.
It does not.
So we're all expats, okay? Got it. Kirsty and Sarah have said it. We are all expats.
So maybe if any of you are using any other terms, you can just stop it right now.
Yes, stop.
Yeah. Stop it. We're all expats.
You've been told off. You've been warned.
If you have moved somewhere else for work, you are an expat. Yeah.
And can I also just say for the people that have never been expats, there was a picture on the... I just spat on you, sorry. The picture that they used on the Guardian article...
That was what got up my bum.
We are not sitting in white frilly dresses sipping on lemonade and G&Ts while we watch our children run around in the garden.
Mm-hmm. And this is a really interesting point, Sarah.
We're sitting underneath your stairs, sweating our balls off.
We are.
Working hard.
Yeah.
Driving our kids to everywhere, doing the gross... Like, we're living a normal life, people.
Yeah. And that was the thing, wasn't it? And it just makes you wonder what the general perception is, because you and I have had a little taste of it in the last little while just by doing this podcast mm-hmm. is that in a couple of reviews, people have said things like, you know, I thought they were going to be these really snobby ladies yeah. or I thought they were going to be, you know, just boring, talking about having gin and tonics and doing yeah. whatever. But they were actually quite down to earth. And it's like, oh, my
God. My husband... Yeah. tends to differ on. He doesn't think there's times when I am down to earth. But yeah, we're just normal girls, aren't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And I think this perception. So I think it's really interesting that The Guardian decided to run an article about this. And when they went, okay, we need a photo of a group of expats. What are we going to use for the photo? They chose a very white yeah. family.
Yeah, all in white.
All in white, sitting out in their garden, being waited on by servants.
Yeah.
It was like, so that's exactly what you think an expat is.
Mm-hmm. And far from it.
Oh, God. I mean, I was picking up the dog poo again this morning, as you do when you have two dogs and one small patch of grass. It's a full-time job picking yeah. up dog poo at this yeah. house, yeah. I can tell you.
Yeah, I still wipe my daughter's ass and she's sick.
That's right. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it until she's about 12.
Okay.
Then it's a problem.
Okay.
Yeah. But I mean, we are doing the school run, going yes. to work.
Yeah.
You know, everyday life, we have just transported it to another place.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Yes, you know, you and I were saying earlier that we think maybe one of the problems is expats post way too many photos of passports and holidays.
If I see one more picture on Facebook of someone with their passport and their ticket saying that they're going to business or first class, I'm going to defriend you.
Yeah, yeah, me too.
I've heard people say, I only turn left now. I don't turn right. The wanker right is for the twice. You're a wanker.
Yeah, you are a wanker.
And you're not even paying yep. for that business class ticket. Your company is.
Yeah.
So when you're paying for it out of your own
yeah.
pocket, then maybe you can say that
yeah.
to me.
So on behalf of all wanker. Expats, because the majority of us are flying economy and doing long
yeah.
haul flights with
yep.
a massive amount of children, maybe, if you're me, I have always turned right. I
yep.
have never turned left. Mm-hmm. Please stop posting those pictures because
yes.
you're just a wanker.
And even if you are turning left, good on you.
Yes, enjoy.
There's been times that I've turned left, but I don't need to tell everyone for
and
about
have a drink
it.
For all of us, please.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So that's enough. Mm. Anyway, so
they tend to be the newbie expats.
Yeah. Well, I think there's a podcast.
Yeah,
that,
we're
going
to do a whole episode about the newbies versus the
new
oldies.
Expat, yeah, versus the old.
Yeah.
So we came across a blog post. Well, I actually remember
this
right. yeah, when
yep.
it first came out. And Maria Foley is a woman who wrote a blog called I Was an Expat Wife. And I used to follow Maria all the time. And it's mm-hmm. one of those things until when we decided to do this episode, I thought, I've got to go and find that blog post because I remember how brilliant it was when it came
mm-hmm,
out. It
mm-hmm.
went bananas. And I think she might have stopped blogging. Like
she
that.
Has because
yeah.
I did a little bit of research and I came across this post
yeah.
and then I thought, oh, she's someone that I want to follow, and she hasn't blogged for a couple of years, so I don't think she blogs anymore.
Aww.
Which is a shame.
So if you want to find it, we'll obviously put the notes up in the show notes mm-hmm. and on the blog, but it's called I Was an Expat Wife, and it said how to become an ugly expat in 12 easy
mm-hmm.
steps
mm-hmm.
and we're not going to call all of them out, but it's all written very tongue-in-cheek
yes.
and she's sort of talking about yes what you should definitely do to
mm-hmm.
become ugly. And one of the things she said was, don't waste your valuable time researching your destination or its people before you move. A country's history or dominant cultural values are of no concern to you. And I think in this expat world, like when we're traveling on a holiday,
yeah,
you will pick out the monuments you want to
mm-hmm.
see and find out more about the people and whatever.
Like what the national dish is, and you
yes.
want to make sure that you try
that
dish.
It and you eat
yeah.
it and where the best restaurants are and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you do when you're traveling on holidays.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're moving to a location to
yeah.
live,
mm-hmm.
your search engine's filled with a lot of different things.
Yeah.
It is
yeah.
more, which suburb should I live in?
Yeah.
Where should my kids go to
schooling,
school?
Schooling, nurseries, what have you.
Yeah.
yeah. My big thing was what supermarkets they had.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
I wanted to make sure that I could get, and this is, I put
yeah.
my hand up to say that I was an ugly expat. I wanted to make sure I could get the food that I was used to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, because you're
I'm
living
eat
there,
their
though.
Food. I want to eat my food.
Yeah, but do you know, I don't know if that is ugly, because the thing is, when you're traveling, you're happy to eat 4 weeks' worth of, you know, whatever food
yeah.
is in the country.
country because traveling through China, you're happy to eat Chinese food, India food.
And then you come home and you can't wait to have something really mediocre from home, like just a roast or whatever.
Yeah.
But when you're going to live somewhere, it's like, well, I do know that after 9 months of eating, you know, the local Nazi food, I'm going to want to have a steak or I'm going to want to have a roast or whatever. Yeah. So I don't think there's anything wrong with doing a bit of research on where you can find the food that you like. I think where it gets wrong is when you refuse to eat local food.
And that, well, I will put my hand up to this. This was me when we first moved to Abu Dhabi.
Right.
I didn't want to try Arabic food. It scared me.
It's so everyday.
He was like, it's barbecue.
Yes.
Like, it's steak and chicken on a stick. It's stuff that you like.
That's
and I'm
what
like,
I
yeah,
think.
But I won't like it. I won't like the spices. And then once, but this is me my whole life. I used to be a very fussy, picky eater. So that's probably the way that I am anyway.
Yeah.
But then I went to a friend's house for lunch and she ordered in Arabic food. So I was like, right, I'm going to have to eat it. Otherwise, I'm going to look rude.
Yeah.
Well, I devoured the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And now when I go home to Australia to visit, I know I can, there's Arabic, plenty of Arabic restaurants.
Yeah.
But I miss our favourite Arabic restaurant here.
Yes.
And when we leave, I'm really going to miss that Arabic restaurant because, you know, I'm never going to be able to say, well, let's go to Al Bandar tonight at the souk and have our shawarmas. Yeah.
Do you know where I got stuck on not doing my research was when we moved to Canada because I think I just thought, oh, well, it'll be just like Australia going to Canada, except cold. And then we got there and I can still remember we got there with, you know, really tiny children and in this tiny little apartment turned on the television and there were people curling. Have you seen curling before?
Yeah, that's where they,
I just remember looking at the television thinking, what are they doing?
Yeah.
Like I'd never heard of curling before. But there was a news flash and on came the Prime Minister of Canada and he was talking away and I was listening in and then someone asked him a question in French and he answered in French.
Mm.
And I felt like a fool that I had really not realised just how French Canada
the whole
was.
Of Canada, not just Montreal, the whole of Canada.
Well,
he's the president of Montreal and the so he has to.
That's right.
I think it's a prerequisite.
Yeah, the Prime Minister of Canada has to be able to speak French, you know, and it was a big deal when Stephen Harper got in because he couldn't speak a lot of French and he had to quickly learn how to speak a lot of French. But it's that whole, there's a whole story there and a history and if, you know, I just hadn't done my research properly.
Yeah.
My children ended up going to a French immersion school.
Oh, wow.
And we were, you know, surrounded by French-speaking Canadians or people that appreciated that side of Canada. Mm-hmm. So it's you can be tripped up wherever you go.
Yeah.
And I think it's because you become so hell-bent on must find house, must find job, must find school, must get visas organised, all the day-to-day.
It does take you quite a while to then assimilate into everyday life, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because your first few weeks or even months of living abroad, that you're consumed with that.
Yeah, and an expat isn't on holiday. And, you know, it's like last week I went to Kuwait for a softball tournament with my daughter and I did not, I don't think, meet one Kuwaiti.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see any great monuments. I didn't, you know, really get a grasp of Kuwaiti culture, which sounds disgusting to go to another country for the weekend and not throw yourself into learning about.
Yeah.
But I was being a mum at a softball camp.
Yeah.
And so it was a matter of getting from the airport to the hotel where all the team was going out to dinner
and
with the team.
Would you have done the same thing had you, you know, gone from South Australia to Victoria?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Would you have gone and seen a show?
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
No.
Would you have walked through the Windsor Hotel, the Botanical Gardens?
No.
I would have been
gone straight to the softball field.
That's right.
Yeah.
So I think that's the thing that can get tricky is that you are still living everyday life. It's not
just
total.
Happens to be in a different country.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Okay, so what else did she say? She was saying about, expats that, that'd be the dogs.
That'd be dogs. That'd be Kimmy.
Roxy.
We'll just hope they stop soon.
Yeah.
So
they're giving their 2 cents.
They are obviously disagreeing.
Expat dogs.
Yes. Yes. Okay, the other one was showing off your wealth.
Yeah.
And that is, I mean, here you could never compete with local wealth anyway.
No, never going to happen.
If you're in certain countries in Asia and Africa, it is just revolting to be walking around with your jewels and everything else. Yeah.
The other thing, the way that you treat your household staff.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've seen that here.
I have seen it here
and
too.
It disgusts me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you and I were saying, and I don't know if this is going to get us in trouble, but we have seen a definite...
We always get into trouble. I'll be apologising for something next episode.
Yeah, but there is a definite link between people who have come from not much, maybe, or tougher times.
Yep.
And how badly they treat the people that work for
that's
them.
That is my opinion. Wrong or right, I think, you know, someone might not have come from such a great life in the UK or the States or Canada. They come here. We're all earning a little bit more money, and they then think that they need to be sitting on a throne and treat everyone else as if they're beneath them. And it drives me insane. Because what we've got to remember is, in a place like Doha, we're all trying to speak one language.
Yes.
Now,
so you're saying this in terms of...
I go to Starbucks and I order my coffee. Well, I don't drink coffee. I order my hot chocolate. What really riles me up is the woman in front of me that wants her coffee, but she wants an extra shot of this, or can you put this on top? She's speaking in English.
She wants
to
a grande latte, no fat, no foam.
Hold the macchiato, whatever.
Yeah.
The girl behind the counter, she might be from the Philippines. Yeah. English is not her first language.
Yeah.
So I know that it can be frustrating when you're ordering something, and if you're ordering a little bit off menu, it can be frustrating here. I get that.
Yeah.
There's no need to be rude to her.
No.
Fine. She's trying to speak English. Her language is Tagalog.
Yeah.
Your language might not be English. Mm. You might have come from a French background. So we're all trying to speak this one language.
Yes.
And you can't tell me that if you moved to the Philippines and you were working in a restaurant that you could converse with the Filipinos in Tagalog, because you can't.
Yes.
So put yourself in their shoes and stop being so rude.
I know.
I'm telling people off for the second time.
Yeah.
There is nothing wrong with saying please, thank you, have a great day.
Yeah.
And I feel like I overcompensate. So if I'm standing behind someone that's being rude, then I'm like, oh, that's really bad. And you can see it on their face. So then I overcompensate. It's like before you know it, I'm asking for their email address and what's their mother's name, because I'm trying to make them feel.
I get it.
It just really, really, really
Don't be the ugly expat. Yes. Take a chill pill and realise.
Because you make the rest of us look bad, and that's why they put photos like that on that Guardian article.
Yes.
Because you're living up to this
connotation
of what an expat is.
Yeah.
So just say please and thank you and be nice.
And I've been trying to think of why people are so highly strung to be like that. And the only thing I can think of is that, A, they need to get out for a little while and just have a break. Because it's like, you know, the analogy that I was thinking is my father's really hard of hearing and my mother has lived with him for 50 years. Mm-hmm. And when I first get home, I listen to her get really irate with him because he's not doing as he's told in whatever way, you know. David, take, because he wears these ear things to listen to the telly. David, take your ears off, because he hasn't heard or whatever.
Yeah.
And because she knows that there are certain ways he's going to hear better, and she gets really frustrated. But I get really upset with her because I think, you know, oh, just stop picking on him, you know, calm down. But then at the end of the 3 months when I've been living with him.
You get it.
I get it because it is. It's a day in, day out. There's a lot that has to happen to be able to have a conversation. So I do get it. So I think here, you know, I know if I've been here for too long, just you saying Starbucks, you know, to me the whole point of Starbucks is it's an in-out exercise. That's why Starbucks
and
exists.
And wherever you go to a Starbucks anywhere in the world, you should get the same
Should get the same thing. I mean, Starbucks is not because it's fabulous coffee. It's because it has a certain service to it and you can get in and out quickly. Mm-hmm. So when you go to Starbucks in the States, as you say your order, someone is writing the order down on the cup and your name. And by the time you've paid for it, you've got to the end of the counter and the coffee is there.
Yeah.
It just happens.
Uh-huh.
That does not happen here. It's never going to happen here. Give up on the dream that's what it is.
Yeah.
And so
the other day my girlfriend and I were in Starbucks and they ran out of coffee. Starbucks ran out of coffee. Now, that would only ever happen in Doha.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't give two hoots about it because I don't drink coffee.
They were the proverbial pub with no beer.
But instead of my friend going off at the poor woman, it's not her fault they ran out of coffee or they couldn't get the grinder working, something
happened.
We just sat there and laughed and went, Only in Doha. Only in Starbucks in Doha would they ever run out of coffee or would their grinding machine not work.
That's right. And things aren't.
But I think you've just got to laugh it off because it's quintessentially Doha.
Yeah, yeah.
As an expat living in other countries, did you get that feeling like you needed to get out? Because I think that's definitely the Middle East that every few months.
Do you know, I don't feel like that here at all.
Don't you?
And never have, but I have lots of friends that feel that way.
Yeah. Mine's getting less. The longer I live here, the less I need to
get out. Do you know, I think the difference is when we lived in Libya, I really felt a need to get out. Like we, every 8 weeks or so, we were out just for a weekend. And I think that was just, it was logistic too. We needed, there was no visa card. So you had to go out to get cash. We had to come back in with cash in our socks and in our whatever. So it was all just logistics too, but also you would go away for the weekend, you could drink and you could get the food that you wanted to get and you could shop and you could stock up on the things, you know, we couldn't get nappies or diapers or whatever. So I really did feel like, I remember I used to track those sort of 8 weeks thinking, oh yay, I'll be able to go and have a beer or go and do whatever. But here, no, you don't, don't feel
it
at all.
I think the more time that I live here, because we're coming up to 7 years in the Middle East, it's really starting to feel like home. And it's getting to the point where we're kind of thinking, are we even going to go home? Are we actually going to stay here till retirement, maybe? That's kind of the conversation we're having at the moment, if all goes to plan. And this is going to be one of the first summers that I'm going to spend the majority of my summer here. We'll go away for a holiday. And the reaction. You're going to be here all summer.
No, you're right. It's crazy to have that reaction.
But it doesn't, it doesn't, because this is my home.
No, you're
and
absolutely
I'm looking forward
you're
to the slow pace. It's going to be a lot quieter here. The roads are going to be quieter. Sadie and I can just chill. Matt's going to work shorter hours.
We can have pyjama days.
We can have pyjama days. We've got the pool. Like, I'm actually looking kind of a bit forward to it.
I would be too.
Yeah.
I would be too.
But then I think next year I'll be like, right, I need to get away.
Yes, because I'd stay here for a summer. All right. So back on to the ugly expat. We were talking about how some people can kind of look like they're not culturally sensitive. And you were talking to me the other day about how you'd been on a plane with an Australian couple and they were getting off in Dubai and the girl just really didn't have enough clothes on.
I'd met a girlfriend in Bali and we'd had a bit of a girly holiday and I was flying from Bali back to Doha. And I remember looking at this couple that were clearly backpackers. They had their backpacks on. I mean, they looked like they needed a shower. And I remember thinking to myself, oh, I sucked into the person that gets to sit next to them. Who got to sit next to them?
You did.
Me. And Qatar Airways being the five-star airline that it is, there's wine, there's champagne, whatever you want, they give it to you. Well, this couple made full use of the Qatar Airways services. Now, this girl was sitting on a plane in tiny, tiny shorts, like bum cheeks hanging out, a crocheted, kind of like a bikini top, really, where there was almost a hint of nip, and completely backless.
Now, this in Bali is everyday stuff. But so I need to explain to you that after you've lived in the Middle East, and this is what I find, I will go back to the beach. I've been living here, you know, for 5 years now. But a 50-year-old woman will walk past the beach house wearing her bathers and a and an overthrow with a towel on her shoulder, and I'll be in shock. Oh my god!
When you
look
go
at all
out
that
to
skin.
The pub and there's girls with like mini skirts, and I'm like,
and
put your clothes on.
Because you start.
We're
to
not
get,
used to that.
We're not used to it, and we start to get quite conscious of skin and things being on display. And so we're probably a bit oversensitive, but also we know what other people
and
are going to do when they get off the plane.
So I turned to this girl as we were getting ready to descend into Doha and I said, do you have anything to cover yourself with? And she said, no, what do you mean? And I said, well, do you know that we're arriving in a Muslim country and it's, you know, quite a strict Muslim country? She said, yeah, but we're just here for a couple of days before we fly to Europe. And I said, no, I understand that, but you're, are you staying in your hotel or are you going to go and look at the sights? We're going to go and look at the sights. Okay, well, you cannot get off this plane looking like you do. Now, I always travel with a pashmina because I always get cold. I have to give this woman my pashmina and say, you need to wrap yourself around this because I'm telling you, you may get thrown in jail or someone will spit on you. Something will happen to you. I can guarantee it.
I reckon you'd go to jail, but you would really offend.
And so she hasn't done her research. They're backpacking around the world and she hasn't thought, right, we're going to a Muslim country. am I going to have to cover?
Yeah.
She just didn't do any research in it. But as far as I know, when you're flying on these airlines, there's nothing that...
Well, did you uncover an article? Something?
I did.
A Qantas article about restrictions.
Yeah, so on traveller.com.au, and it is an article on the rules of what you need to abide by when you're having a stopover in, you know, Dubai, Doha, Abu Dhabi, what have you.
And is that something you'd recommend people read?
Absolutely, and we'll put it in the show notes.
Right.
But is that something that people seek? Like, do they think, oh, we've got a stopover in Doha, I better find out what the rules and regulations are? Are people thinking that?
Well, when I moved here, I definitely searched up what the rules and regulations are because I remember being really conscious of, well, what's going to happen when I get off the plane?
Yeah.
Do you know, like,
what
would I wear? You know, do they care about the kids? And I think a lot of people do because I know every time I say that I live in Doha, usually the first question is, do you have to cover?
Yeah, I get that.
And everybody asks that. Okay. And if there's someone out there listening and they're wondering whether we do, no, we don't. We don't have to wear an abaya. We don't have to cover our hair with a scarf.
We just have to dress in a respectable manner.
So the general thing, if you look up anything online or any of the cultural rules, they'll say cover your shoulders and cover your knees.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of women don't cover their knees. No. They wear shorts.
But see, my
skirts.
Knees need to be covered, so
Same
do my arms.
See, so you and I are both.
I'm loving these rules.
Yeah. I'm quite happy with that please cover your arms rule because.
Yeah. Ain't nobody want to see my dub-dubs. But I cover back home.
Yes.
I don't get around because I don't like my arms, so I don't have them.
On display. So I think a lot of women here, expat women, have a similar wardrobe of, you know, because of course it gets up to 50 degrees in the
summer.
And
I get it. I understand why you want to be in a spaghetti strap and your short shorts.
You've got to have something to cover that.
But at the end of the day, you have, and this is why I think I say this every episode, you've chosen to live here.
Yes.
You are making this your home.
Yep.
Abide by the rules.
That's
and if
right.
you don't like it, there's a plane out of here.
That's right.
Go back and wear your spaghetti straps and what have you.
Yeah, okay.
You know?
Yeah, and we were talking about how people do that, that they walk around in their spaghetti straps.
Yeah.
And to me, this is the ultimate ugly expat. So it's this whole, you know, well, why can't I pork and why can't I be drunk in public and why can't I do
like
whatever?
The other day when you asked me, do I send pork to school with Sadie? It never even crossed my mind to give her a ham cheese sandwich.
You just
she can have that
it.
When she gets home.
Yeah,
because we can buy pork products here.
Yeah,
but I would never ever in it. To pork here to me is like the no nuts, no chocolate policy.
Yes.
Like, to me, it's no nuts, no chocolate, no pork.
No pork. Just
and I tell Sadie not to talk about that stuff at school.
And we're the same. You know, we have in Australia a leg of ham in the fridge all the time.
Yeah.
We've always got, you know, the ham bag and the whatever. For those whole few months that we're home over the winter, that's all we eat is toasted ham and cheese sandwiches.
This morning in our meeting, we ate a mound of bacon.
I did. No, I did too. We both did.
But we wouldn't take that outside and be chowing down on our bacon, wouldn't we? Because we
it's
know
offensive.
Where we live, and it's offensive.
Yeah. So, don't wear your shoestring straps without your shoulders being covered.
Yeah.
Invest in, and it's easy because, I mean, there's so many fantastic kind of, I want to say cardigans, but that sounds so old, but, you know, funky kind of throws.
I'm going to do a blog post on it.
Can you?
I'm going to do a blog post on Lady Sadie's Emporium about outfits to wear to help you get from the heat into the... And look, at the end of the day, malls are really cold
freezing. You want to have that.
But
cover up and don't be the ugly expat. Don't be rude and don't be insensitive to other people's cultures.
Yeah.
Because you would be mightily grumpy if someone did it. You know, like, to me, it's the equivalent if someone arrived in Australia and peed out on the street in front of my house and went, oh, but, you know, that's what we do where we are.
Yeah.
You know, we do that. Bad luck. You know,
well, we don't do that here.
No.
Yeah.
So please don't.
Yeah. And you know what I do love is, so we've done a bit of travelling while we've been living here and I can now pick the Qataris and the Emiratis when we go to Europe. So the year before last, we went to Paris over the summer. And I could pick the Qataris on the Champs-Élysées because they were in their amazing designer clothes.
Yeah.
No abayas, and they would just wear their really fashionable turbans like what Sheikha Moussa wears.
Yeah.
And I loved it. And I probably wouldn't have picked that out had we not lived here.
Yeah.
And I ended up, because I used to work at a school, I ended up seeing some kids from the school that I worked at, and I got to see their mums and their sisters not covered.
Yeah.
Because they know when they go to another country, they can be a little bit freer.
Yeah. But some guys do. I mean, I have a girlfriend who, when she travelled with her parents as a child, no one had to cover, like her mum didn't cover. But now when she travels with her husband, she decides to cover. So I think it just depends.
Personal choice.
There's a lot of people that go, well, when in Rome, I will be Roman. All right, Sez, I think we're nearly up on our time. So we were going to talk about things we'd found on Twitter and Instagram and whatever.
Yeah.
My Instagram one this week was a couple of years ago, I think, was it last year? I went to Turkey, thanks to Turkish Airlines, on a blog tour. And when I was there, I discovered on Instagram this fantastic Instagrammer called Audio Soup, and I'll put a link up.
Okay.
And but just stunning photos of Turkey and all over Turkey.
Okay.
And I don't know if it's a he or a she. It's just under the account at Audio Soup.
Okay.
But the photos are so beautiful I think it's definitely well worth a look.
Ooh, okay.
So that's my Instagram tip. What was your Twitter tip for this week?
So my Twitter tip, one of my favorite people in Qatar is Mr. Q.
Is it Mr. Q? Or is it the Irish one or the
Kit-Kat? I like the Irish one.
Right.
Yes.
So he's not Mr. Q, though, is he?
No, he's... But they've joined forces together. And their Twitter is at I Love Qatar.
Yes.
And they do these different tips, Q-tips. So this week it was how do they keep their thobes so white? And I always wonder that.
Yeah, but I thought that was a shitty one because I'm going to be a little bit outrageous here. I do also love the Q-tips, and I think the Q-tips have been fascinating.
Yeah.
And they did one on, you know, how you wear your headwear and the different styles and how to do it. I have found all of the Q-tips incredibly helpful in understanding Qatari culture.
Yeah.
And I think if you're interested in Qatari culture and how things happen, go and have a look.
Yeah.
But this particular one, how to keep your thobe white, I felt gypped because it was this whole, did you hear the reason?
Yeah.
I mean, really, the reason was because we're really careful.
But like, it's so dusty. Gee, and
what
sandy.
A mystery. Mystery solved. Oh, we're really careful.
But I always wonder that because they are pristine.
They are pristine.
And we live in a really sandy, dusty climate.
And you don't ever see a dirty thobe. No, no.
But I love the Qatari. He grew up in Ireland.
Yes.
And he...
You really love him.
I've got a bit of a crush on him. I'm not allowed to say that. Am I allowed to say that?
I don't think he's married, is he?
No, I think he is.
Oh, dear.
Oh, but I've got a real crush on him. He's very handsome and he's hilarious. So he's Qatari, 100% full-blown Qatari.
Yes.
But he grew up in Ireland, so he has this full-on Irish accent.
Yes.
And he is hilarious.
And he does a great... Have you seen him live?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I was at an event once where he was the MC.
It
took me everything not to go up to him and, like, throw myself at him. Like, I love him.
His whole shtick is he kind of comes out and he speaks in a Qatari accent.
Yes.
And he pretends to be kind of...
But very strict.
Very strict, yes. And the whole thing here when you drive is you, for those who haven't been here or driven here, when you're in the overtaking lane... People will race up behind you, and to get you out of the road, they will just flash their lights. And it can be really scary when you first move here because people just come charging up behind you.
They come out of nowhere. They literally come out of nowhere.
Flash their lights, as in, you know, get out of the way. But if you speak to a Qatari, they will say to you, well, we're not being offensive. That's just our way of saying, you know, you need to move.
Go to the slow lane.
Yes, what are you doing here? And this part of his routine is he says, I flashy at you.
And then he just switches into this Irish accent.
I know, and everyone goes, hang on.
They're flawed.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love him.
He is very funny. So, yes I would say you can catch them on YouTube. And
yeah, I'll put some links up. And he did a very funny one where he rode a camel through the Burger King drive-thru.
Oh, I think he
got into a bit of trouble for that.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, because he was going...
He is very funny.
But it's hilarious.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll put that clip in where he rides his camel through a Burger King drive-thru. Hilarious.
Yeah. Okay, put a link with both the guys because yeah. Khalifa is the other guy, isn't he? Yeah. And I wanted to talk about Champagne Cartel.
Love that blog.
Oh, those girls are too funny. I have actually become friends with these girls because I met Carolyn and Gillian at Pro Blogger last year.
Yeah.
And they really were. I didn't know about Champagne Cartel and I was with my cousin, Bianca, who has big words, and she said to me, oh, have you met these girls? They're really great. And sort of met them instantly, just loved them. They are hysterical. Yeah. But they give really good blogs.
They do.
Do you know? Yeah. They really do. And it's for me to find a new blog to sort of follow, it really needs to have a story or it needs to have... Mm-hmm. Did I just say story?
Story. I was going to skip over it.
What was that about? I don't know. Anyway, so it needs to have a story. And they have had some absolute crackers. And because they're both working women, and so they write blogs for busy women.
Yep.
And Gillian, I think, has a background in beauty as well.
I think so,
So her beauty blogs are really, really
fantastic.
Good. And just useful because, I mean, you're a beauty person and you're probably... far more high end on the beauty stuff and in what and how things should happen. Yeah. I'm at the basics. So when she writes a how to not look so tired and it's comical but it's got great tips on how not to look so tired as a 46-year-old, I am totally into that, do you know?
Yeah.
And how to wear, you know, your flared jeans or how to do what.
Yeah.
I just think, so champagnecartel.com.
Yeah, we'll put the
funny,
links.
Funny girls, we'll put the links and we really, really liked them. And you were going to talk about a podcast?
Yeah, that we kind of differ on, don't we?
Oh, we do.
So my brother-in-law, Paddy, who we spoke about a couple of episodes ago, he listens to us, loves us. Hi, Paddy. He told me about a podcast that I should listen to called Stuff You Should Know. And you... Now, you and your kids find it really boring, don't
you? We did. Like, I am a total car podcaster person. Yeah. Do you know, like, I know there's people that podcast, listen to podcasts while they cook and while they do things, whereas for me it's a real
in the car. Yeah.
And I spend a lot of time in the car, and usually I have at least two or three kids in the car with me. And so it has to be, for my podcast, it really has to be something that the kids can listen
to as well.
That
you can all enjoy.
That we can all enjoy. And... so I thought Stuff You Should Know would be perfect because it would be kind of like watching the science
show. How do fleas work and how do you make perfume and why perfume is perfume and all of that kind of stuff.
And I thought I have a very sciencey kind of 11-year-old boy and I thought, oh, he is just going to really dig this.
Yeah.
No.
Like, wasn't
No, we just wasn't for us. Yeah. So you say yes, I say no, and that's why this is good because we should both...
But normally we agree on all of our podcasts.
But I tell you what my kids really have gone back to and I've gone back to is Reply All.
Yeah.
And we've talked about it before.
Not into it. She's too young, but it's my favourite.
Do you know, on Reply All this last week, they had a fascinating one because I just love it because it's about all things on the internet.
Yeah.
But they had years ago, I don't know if you remember, they had the Jenny Cam.
Yeah, that fascinated me.
Me too.
And now she's completely...
Offline. And I wonder, will we be like that one day, says?
Hell no. I am so into social media, it's not funny.
So the Jenny Cam, for anyone who can't remember...
But we're also not taking our clothes off and doing things like
that. Was a girl who set up a webcam. This is when webcams first came out.
It was like back
out.
In 1996, I think
it was
she
in
started.
The days where Letterman was huge and everyone was watching Letterman.
Yeah.
And she became this phenomena because it was the first, before blogging, before
everything.
Social media, before anything, she would have this webcam and she became huge. She was like,
and
no,
before
I mean,
reality shows really took off.
Yes.
Like, I think there was probably only Survivor on at the time. Like, there was no Kardashians, no Real Housewives, none of that.
That's right. So she became sort of that first kind of reality person.
And she just lived her life in front of her webcam in her dorm room.
For years.
Yeah.
And took
she
it then
almost
when she
broke the
work.
Yeah, and she almost broke the internet when she got a boyfriend.
Because everyone wanted to watch.
And everyone had to watch them.
And then he didn't
get jiggy.
And he didn't want to be a boyfriend anymore.
Yeah.
So it was really interesting because on reply, or each week they track down things on the internet, yeah. and he decided to go back and find her and could not find her.
No, that's right.
And spent months looking for her because yeah. she is so offline.
Completely offline.
And yeah. he found her and he talks to her about yeah. that process and
such
what it was
a good
like.
Episode.
It's a really good episode. And my kids really enjoyed
yes,
that
Yes, Sadie's
episode.
Being sick, she's not really into reply yeah. all just yet. So yeah, that's what I listen yeah. to when I'm waiting to pick her up. It's yeah. my favourite podcast.
So I really liked that one. So, yeah, I think we're going to have to wrap it up because yes. we've gone well past oh my gosh,
that's our longest
minutes.
Episode ever.
I'm really sorry people if that was too long. Whoops. But yes, that was episode 9 yep. and we'll be back next week. We're talking about
international schooling. So how to pick a school for your child,
yeah, and this one I think might be interesting even if you're just how to pick a school anywhere for
yeah
your
absolutely
child.
Yeah.
But definitely maybe get a piece of paper and a pen ready for
yes.
episode 10
Take
because
notes.
There's some good tips on
yes.
how to pick an
it's
international
be educational.
School. Okay, everyone.
See you next
week. It's been
well,
lovely.
See you next week.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.